Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace that continually is in our lives, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. What do these have in common? Go ahead and close it down and bring it back up. What do these have in common? 8, 27, 34, 4, 19, and 10.
The Powerball winnings.
That's right. They are the Powerball lottery winning numbers drawn this past Wednesday night. Of course, this has generated some big news over the last several weeks, and I'm sure you've all heard about that $1.6 billion jackpot. A jackpot that became a record level of money because it went 20 drawings without a winner. 20 drawings. And according to the Texas Lottery, that $1.6 billion would end up working out to about $985 million. Can you imagine that kind of a number? I heard about it several weeks ago when it reached about $600 billion, and then it was $900 million something, and then it was $1.2 and $1.6 billion. Listen to some of my journaling thoughts over the last couple of weeks. December 18th. Lord, it would be nice if I won $600 million. Just to think of the good I could do. Would you bless me this way? Your servant, your loving servant, Paul. December 24th, Christmas Eve. Happy birthday, Jesus. I hope we celebrate you well tonight in our services. What a great present it would be to receive $900 million. Just think of the good I could do. Would you please bless me this way, your loving servant, Paul. January 1st, it's a new year, Lord. I look forward to you speaking through your word as I read through your Bible this year. I could buy and give away lots of Bibles with $1.2 billion. Just think of all the good I could do. Bless me, Lord, your loving servant, Paul. January 5th. Lord, someone mentioned to me today that if they won the lottery, they would pay off not only the mortgage on Armstrong Hall, but also the mortgage on the parsonage, and maybe more. Just think of the good they could do. Lord, I would do the same thing and more. I claim your blessing on me, Lord, your loving servant, Paul. Tuesday. January 11th, Lord, one day before the $1.6 billion drawing, Lord, I spent some time this morning thinking of how I could spend that money helping not only my family, but also my friends, my church, the Detroit Annual Conference, and United Methodism as a whole, and well, frankly, even my retirement. If I win tomorrow, Lord, just think of all the good I can do. I claim this money in your powerful and loving name. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask your loving servant, Paul. Thursday, January 13th. Lord, I see three people won the lottery last night, and each will be getting about $350 million. None of them are from the state of Michigan. I don't understand why I couldn't have been blessed with winning, even if I had to share it, especially, Lord, with all the good I could have done. Oh, well, Lord, you missed a blessing. I still love you and devote my life to you, your loving servant, Paul. You know, I sometimes wonder why God doesn't bless me in this kind of a specific way. After all, I have dedicated my life to the pursuit of God and to sharing God's love and helping others to know God and to experience God's love. Okay, so I didn't buy any lottery tickets. But it doesn't seem to me that it should stop an all-powerful, almighty creator with blessing me with this kind of a windfall. Does it to you? Should God be hampered by buying tickets? But then maybe God knows best on how I should be blessed or could be blessed. And then I think we fall into this trap of believing that we're not good enough to receive that kind of a blessing. Last week we touched on the names that many of us have received when we've grown up, and none of these names are nice, and how they have impacted our own self-view. And often these self-views lead us to believe that God could never bless us or bless a person like me. But this is not true. You see, God desires to bless each one of us and to pour from heaven the great riches of God's love, grace, and mercy. Not only can our self-views hinder us, we have been taught time and again that too often we use prayer to get out of some kind of a trouble or mess that we've been in, and we're told that we should be praying more for others and not for ourselves. Yet in the prayer that Jesus taught us, we are encouraged to pray for ourselves in some areas, such as that God's will be done where? On heaven or on earth as it is in heaven. That God's will be done. And if we sincerely pray this way, then we're asking that God's will be done in our lives, that God would bless us. Then Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And is it okay when asking for our daily bread to not ask for some stale, two-week-old white bread that has mold on it, but that instead maybe God wants us to pray, God, give me this wonderful day a warm cinnamon raisin bagel with walnut cream cheese. Or maybe God, give me this day a hot cinnamon roll with lots of goo inside and topped with icing. And how about, God, a hot chocolate chai tea on the side? Is it this kind of blessing that God desires to shower upon us? As we continue to look at the prayer of Jabez, we come to the first request from Jabez's prayer. And we see Jabez making what many of us might think is an extravagant request. Read it with me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. You see, the first thing we need to note is that Jabez is approaching and asking God for this blessing, the one true living God, not some idol, not some passing fancy to bless him. And that indeed, oh God, bless me indeed. That's like an exclamation point. Oh God, bless me. Bless me indeed. Could seem kind of selfish, don't you think? Yet remember Moses when he asked God to show him his glory on Mount Sinai? Did God say no? No. In fact, God came down and stood in the presence of Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Now, this is the kind of God that I could serve. How about you? And when Moses left that place, the Bible says this, his face was radiant because he had been in the presence of God. His face was so radiant that it glowed and that other people were even afraid to approach him. God had truly blessed Moses. I remember back when I had committed myself to God, to intentionally follow God in my 20s. My prayer to God was to let me see others through His eyes. I wonder if it was okay to make such an audacious request from God. You see, I was asking God to bless me indeed, so that I could serve Him more effectively, so that I could love people more unconditionally, even when they were mad or angry or frustrated with life. And you know what? God granted me that request. And I see the hurt and the suffering that people experience, not just because of others, but sometimes the hurt and suffering they feel because they are distant from God. A God who desires to bless them. God certainly blessed me with my request and has used my request to serve Him through the years with others who suffer or are hurting. I wonder, what would it be that you would ask God to bless you with so that you could serve God more effectively? What would you ask God for to bless you? Bruce Wilkerson, in his book, The Prayer of Jabez, shares a fable of Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven, and St. Peter meets him at the gates and begins to show him around. Peter is showing him the splendor of heaven, the golden streets, the wonderful mansions, the choirs of angels singing and worshiping God. And the man comes up to a rather odd-looking building, kind of like a warehouse, no windows, only one door. He's curious, and yet Peter tells him, "You really don't want to go in there. You don't even want to see what's in there." Mr. Jones begins to think, why would there be any secrets in heaven? What incredible surprises are waiting in there? After the tour, Mr. Jones is still thinking about this building, and he asks, he begs Peter to show him. And after some prodding, Peter finally relents, goes to the building, opens the door. Mr. Jones almost knocks him over as he races in and goes into this enormous room filled with shelves from ceiling to floor. Each shelf is stacked neatly with white boxes with red ribbons around them. Mr. Jones notices all of these boxes, they have names on them. And turning to Peter, is there a box with my name? As Peter tries to guide Mr. Jones back outside, he says, yes. Yes, you do have a box, but if I were you. But before he could even finish, Mr. Jones is racing down the aisles to the aisle marked J. Peter shakes his head following, and as he catches up to Mr. Jones, he's slipping off the red ribbon and popping the lid of the box, looking inside. Mr. Jones has a moment of instant recognition, and he lets out a deep sigh. A sigh like Peter has heard before. You see, inside the box, Mr. Jones sees all the blessings that God wanted to give him while he was still here on earth, but had never asked for. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me. Bless me indeed. Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, to knock. We'll read it with me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, to finds, and to one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus goes on to say these words, which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? to those who ask. So ask God to bless you indeed. Now, I have to be honest with you. One of the aspects of receiving God's blessing as a follower of God, Jabez would have understood. One of the things that we have to ask or keep in mind as we ask for blessings is this, what Jabez understood and knew. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. Read the rest with me. And these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So for Jabez, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that obedience to God was directly tied to the receiving of blessings from God. And Deuteronomy goes on to list some of the blessings that God desires to give us. You will be blessed where you live. You will be blessed with family and food, blessed when you come in and when you go out. Blessings over your enemies so that they will flee from you. Your barns will be full, and everything you put your hand to will be blessed. You will be God's holy people that others will see and fear you. God will grant you abundant prosperity. Well, maybe not a lottery, but abundant prosperity. You will be the head and never the tail. Only if you do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, or follow or serve other gods. These are wonderful blessings from God, but only if we follow God. I wonder, if you were to look at yourself, can you equate your blessings to your obedience to God? Can you look back and see the time when God blessed you and tie that into when you've been obedient to God? Remember when I told you just a few minutes ago about Moses receiving a blessing from God, the presence of God? Well, after saying how God had blessed him with his presence and told Moses that he was compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, sin, and rebellion. Remember that? That's what God wants to do. God ends with these words to Moses. He says, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. The guilty being those who don't really seek to live with God or within God's will. And that punishment oftentimes can be seen as just separation from God or a lack of God's blessings on our life. Remember how Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and the door will be what? Opened. That God desires to give good gifts to those who ask. You remember that? Jesus ends with these words to the crowd. Read them with me. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Remember, what we should do to others, we do in obedience. We do in obedience to God. That is doing what God is asking us to do. To love. To be compassionate. To be grateful. To forgive. All of those things God asks us to do. I want you to feel free to ask for God's blessing. But I also want to let you know you need to align your life with God as much as possible. And live in obedience to God. I can't tell you how important this is. Especially if you call yourself a Christian, if you follow Christ, realize that often or even most times, listen, people are used by God to bless other people. Does that make sense? People are used by God to bless other people. I think many of the blessings we receive are directly tied to someone else's obedience to God. We are blessed when someone does something kind to us, or maybe we could say we are blessed when someone does something godly to us, is compassionate, is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. They were faithful to God, or, Or maybe they simply forgave us when we needed to be forgiven. Even if we badly hurt them, they forgave us. When I look back on my life, I was blessed because my parents took me to church regularly. And I was a part of a Sunday school program, which entailed this. A number of people who were following God's ways, for instance, my parents, a faith-filled church, a Sunday school program with faithful teachers. Teachers who were willing to give of their time and talents because of God's call or God's will in their life. To teach students not only to know and love God, but to help their students know how much God loves them, which is often first seen by how the teacher loves the students. Also, it entailed people who recognized God's generosity in their lives and were willing to give generously back to God through their offering for the hard work of growing the kingdom of God. And this doesn't include in my life the other churches, the other spiritually minded and obedient to God kingdom workers who have touched my life with the blessings of God through their friendship and at times unconditional love. These blessings weren't million-dollar windfalls, but they had an eternal impact on my life. When I listen to your God moments, it's often a direct or indirect result of somebody doing some godly act or kindness or love that results in what you experienced or what you saw. So imagine the blessings people could receive because of your obedience to God. Or maybe the blessings people don't receive because of your lack of obedience to God. Does God want to bless us? I say yes, because it's God's nature to want to pour out his blessings into our lives. And let's receive them now and not leave them up in heaven for when we get there. Should we ask God to bless us? I say yes, because we see biblical characters who lived obedient lives asking for God to bless them indeed. And God delivered. Jesus tells all of his followers and then to us today, ask, seek, knock, so you can receive God's blessings. And then we trust God to send the blessings we need in whatever form that God deems best. Can you become a blessing to someone else? Well, that's up to you. Depends on how you're going to order your life, how you're going to follow God's instructions. Will you be open to living a godly or a holy life or not? Because if you are, God will use you. God will use you, yes, even you, to deliver blessings to other people. Doesn't that sound good? Don't you want to be a blessing to someone else? Then ask. Then obey. And then go out and do. It is my prayer that God's Holy Spirit would fall afresh on everyone gathered here this morning. That God would shape us and mold us to be the people he desires us to be. The people we desire to become. People who are obedient to God. People who are available to God. People who are willing to love for God. Oh God, that you would bless us indeed. Amen? Let us pray. Oh God, we do desire your Spirit to fall upon us, to remind us of your great love, and that love is not for us to put into a bottle and cap. And to take out only when we want it. But that love that you freely give to us, that compassion, the graciousness, the mercy that flows into our lives, God, you ask us to allow it to flow into the lives of others. That we might bless other people into the kingdom of God. Lord, further into their knowledge of you. God, that they might experience your love in new and in fresh ways. God, bless us indeed. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us, change us, renew us. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said,